So today's scripture reading comes from Matthew 6, verse 33. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. This is the word of the Lord.
Good morning. We picked up again with our series on memory verses. These are verses, short verses, that are important for Christians to memorize. It builds our faith. It gives us encouragement when we're discouraged. And it's just an important set of resources to have in the Christian life. So all year, with the exception of Advent and Lent and Easter, we've been looking at that. And so we resume that series. And today we come to Matthew 6. 33. Let me take a moment and pray for us, and then we'll just dive right in this morning. Father, we need your presence, and we need your help as we read this morning, as we pray through this text. We ask you to reveal more of your glory and your greatness and your love to us. In Jesus' name, amen. In an op-ed piece in the New York Times, author David Brooks wrote about the epidemic of worry, And this is what he wrote. He said, there are good and bad forms of anxiety, the kind that warns you about legitimate dangers and the kind that spirals into dark and self-destructive thoughts. He continues by saying, in his book Worrying, Francis O'Gorman notes how quickly the good kind of anxiety can slide into the dark kind. He writes, worry is circular. It may start with a concrete anxiety. Did I lock the back door? Is this headache a stroke? And it has a nasty habit of taking off on its own, of getting out of hand, of spawning thoughts that are related to original worry and which make it worse. Now, Jesus addresses this epidemic of worry, and he did so in his ministry. In a sermon he taught, in one of his sermons he taught this, therefore, I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. So here in Matthew's gospel, Jesus teaches us that our problem with worry, the epidemic of worry, the epidemic of anxiety, is a problem of priority. Did you notice in verse 33 he says, but seek first. But seek first. He doesn't say don't seek. He doesn't say don't seek the other things that you're seeking after. But he says seek first. You're not seeking the first things first. Seek first, okay? An example, Augustine, one of the very early Christian theologians and philosophers, argued that our problem of priority is that our loves are out of order. Our loves are out of order. In his book, on Sundays, twice a month, we're going through the book Making Sense of God. And in his book, Pastor Keller explains, Augustine observed that the heart's loves have an order to them, and that we often love less important things more than the more important things less. Therefore, the unhappiness and disorder of our lives are caused by the disorder of our loves. A just and good person is also a person who has rightly ordered his loves, so that he does not love what is wrong to love, or fail to love what should be loved, or love too much what should be loved less, or love too little what should be loved more. Okay? How does this work? There's nothing wrong with loving your work, loving your job. But if you love it more than your family, then your loves are out of order, and it may ruin your family. Or consider it this way. If you love making money more than you love justice, then you're going to exploit your employees again because your loves are disordered. If anything threatens our disordered loves, we worry. We have anxiety. And so what's the solution? Jesus teaches us here that we have to reorder our loves. He teaches about the priority of God's kingdom. He says, but first, seek first the kingdom of God. So there's a priority of God's kingdom. And he talks about the priority of God's righteousness. Seek first God's righteousness, right? Both are there. And then there's a priority of life reorder and what that looks like. He says in 33, and all these things will be added to you. So let's just quickly go through that and understand what the gospel does to reorder our loves. First, we seek other things first. We seek other things first rather than the kingdom of God. Serving our disordered loves brings a sense of identity. Serving our disordered loves brings us a sense of identity. Our reputation is wrapped up in what we seek. So therefore, as we seek too much to get meaning from our job, seek too much to get meaning from another relationship, seek too much to get meaning from career, then if those things are threatened to be taken from us, we get anxious. And so what he says, what Jesus is saying, look, the antidote to worry is not to seek your reputation first. What does it mean to seek God's kingdom? When you seek God's kingdom, you're seeking the reputation of the king. You're seeking his rule and his reign in every aspect of your life, to build that, to establish that, to point to that. Not to your own rule, not your own reign, not your own kingdom. Seeking God's kingdom is to yield control to him, to get a sense of identity from him, from building his reputation rather than building our own. What do you feel shaken by in everyday life? At your job, in your family, in relationship, at work? What threatens to undo you? What unsettles you? Check your loves. Check your loves. Maybe they're out of order. And Jesus says, look, if you're trying to build your reputation through the things you have, the things you're involved with, the people that you're involved with, things that you do, it'll only bereft you of meaning. Find your true meaning in seeking God's reputation in all the things that you do. Seek his goodness, his reign, his rule. It's not about what you control. It's about what he controls. And he's the only loving one who orders things for your benefit. All right, so the priority of God's kingdom. Seek first the kingdom, but also the priority of God's righteousness. Seek first God's righteousness. We've talked about this from time to time, but religions of the world, religion in general, spirituality in general, is about advice to follow, right? And you've heard Christians do this just as much as any other religion. What do you need to do as a Christian? Well, you need to read your Bible. You've actually heard me say that. I challenge you a lot on that. You need to pray, right? You need to love others as you love yourself. You need to help out in the neighborhood. You need to help those who don't have anything. Those of you who have, make sure that you're giving to those who have none, right? So you hear it as a list of advice to follow, but the reality is that Christianity is very different on this point, right? In Islam, we have the five pillars of Islam, right? How do we know that Allah will bless us? We follow that. We follow those five pillars. We're not sure, but we've tried really hard to follow those. Here in Christianity, it's about news that's happened on your behalf. It's about seeking not your own righteousness, not your own righteousness is a positional word that means right standing with God and with others, right? It's not seeking your own righteousness, it's seeking first his righteousness. Do you hear what Jesus says? Seek first his righteousness. There's a famous place where the people of God, who Jesus was preaching to at the time, had turned away from him, had really turned away from him. They'd turned their hearts from him. They'd turned their lives from him. They'd turned their community from God. And God sends them a prophet. And he says to the prophet, I want you to marry a prostitute. And she's going to be unfaithful to you. And you're going to have children by her. And those children are going to be called not my people. And it's going to be a symbol of the unfaithfulness of my people. People that I've called my people, people that I brought from nothing to something, people that I have a relationship with, an intimate relationship with, they've turned away from me and they're seeking their love elsewhere. They're seeking their love and their faithfulness elsewhere. And I'm the only place they can get that. And so there's this great place in Hosea 10:12. An Old Testament Hebrew scripture prophet book, the one that I'm describing. And in 10:12, Hosea writes this. He says, sow for yourselves righteousness. Reap the fruit of unfailing love. Break up your unplowed ground, for it's time to seek the Lord until he comes and showers his righteousness upon you. You can't shower righteousness upon yourself, the Bible says. Jesus teaches that you have to seek his righteousness. And it's not through following advice, it's news that's happened. Jesus came to live the life that we should have lived. He came to give up his life in a way that we couldn't. He faced the penalty for our alienation from God and from one another on the cross. And because of that, because wrath was showered up down upon him, God's righteousness, Jesus' righteousness, can be showered down upon us. And so the priority of God's righteousness is one of the ways, one of the antidotes to anxiety and to worry. We have his kingdom, the priority of his kingdom, the priority of his righteousness. And lastly, we have the priority of life reordered. Jesus also teaches that. And then once you've reordered your priorities, once you're seeking his kingdom, once you're seeking his righteousness, Jesus says, all these things, the things that you need, the things that your Father knows that you need will be added to you. And what he's getting at is this. When the weight of your life is on your disordered loves, what you love will be destroyed by the weight that you put on it. Haven't you seen that? When we've been needy in relationship, or someone else has been needy with us, doesn't that neediness put more and more weight on you? Or doesn't your neediness put more and more weight on another? If you continue unchecked trying to get your meaning from someone else other than God, that weight that you put on them will destroy them. Destroy the very one that you love. When the weight of your life, on the other hand, is on your reordered love, with God first, loving him first, seeking his reputation first, rather than your own, seeking the righteousness that he showers upon you through grace, through Jesus' effort on your behalf, rather than your own effort, the other things you love won't have to carry the weight that they do. And as a result, those things will be more joyful to you, not less. There was a time where we all have misordered loves, and I have them too. And as I've grown in my faith, the Lord has helped me to reorder them, and it's a continuing process. It's not all there yet for me, and it's not all there yet for you. But one of the loves that I had growing up that saved me from a lot, circumstantially, was music. I played guitar. I had a terrible home life in my early teenage and late teenage years. And so the only way that I got through that was to play guitar. I read the Bible and prayed too, but that's a different story, part of the story. I'll tell you about that another time. And I played guitar a lot. I tested out of the state requirements of high school by the 10th grade. And I had an art teacher who was sympathetic to my situation. He allowed me to take a study hall for every period. And all I had to do was write down what I did. So I was practicing 12 to 14 hours a day in high school, and I got myself into music school by practicing. And I went out on my own, and I got into the world. And I finished school, and I worked really hard to get through there, and I worked full-time job, and I took a full-time credit load. And I didn't do particularly well in my grades living that way, but I was on my own, and I was making it. And music was at the center of that. And I went off after college and played the American Stage Festival in Nashua, New Hampshire, and I played with some known names. And then a couple of years after that, I went on a national tour with a musician who now has his own independent label, is doing very well, and he's fighting for musicians' rights with what's going on in the streaming. He's been lobbying at the government, and he's on a world tour right now. All of that was very meaningful to me, but I felt empty. With the very thing that saved me, it couldn't take the weight that I was putting on it. And though I loved music, though I loved playing, it couldn't take the weight, and I felt emptier and emptier. There was a time where I switched, and I put my weight on God and his love for me. Now, this is not always the case. It could have changed the way that I played professionally, right? But for me, it pushed me towards ministry. It's not necessary. You know, those of you who are artists out there, I want you to hear me say that. We need distinctive Christian artists. We need distinctive Christian everybodies, teachers, lawyers, CEOs, vice presidents, homemakers. We need distinctively gospel-led people in every profession to transform our world around us. So I'm not saying that because you're putting the weight and seeking God's kingdom first, the things that you love will be taken out of first place or the lead in your life. What I'm saying is that their priority, you'll no longer break them and they'll no longer break you by not meeting your requirements, by not meeting your demands. So when I put my weight on Christ, I actually found music for the first time in a way that I'd never found it. Do you know when I play with Simeon this morning and with all of you singing, I feel and know that I'm a much better player than I ever was. I enjoy it much more. It has a fundamental place. If you ask me, are you a musician? I would say absolutely. Maybe for the first time in my life. Because that love of music, something that was so important, something that took me through so many things that were difficult, is finally placed in the right order. God, His kingdom, has become first to me and is becoming first to me. Again, I haven't made it. Don't hear me say that. But part of the Christian life is to set God first, set His reputation first, seek His reputation, His effort on your behalf. When you know the freedom of what Jesus has won for you through what He's given up, it changes everything that you do. It changes everything that I do. And it continues to. So friends, we have a great King. He's built our hearts to love Him. And our problem is that we love other things too much, or we love the right things too little. Only through coming to know the living God, the Lord Jesus Christ, will you be able to have your loves reordered and be able to move through life with a freedom that you've never known. God frees us to reorder our loves. Doesn't that sound good to you? Don't you want that? I know I do. Let's pray. Father, we're grateful for your love for us. You know us inside and out. You know what troubles us. You know what we need. And you've told us that our worry, our anxiety, has to do with the wrong priorities in our life. That instead we need to seek your reputation first, your kingdom first, your righteousness first. And all these things that we long after, that we try to take our meaning from, will be added. They'll add up finally. Will finally make sense. Be with us as you do that and free us to love those things more than we ever thought possible and yet be freed from them in a way we never dreamed that we could be. Show us your love, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.